everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, the series where we'll let you know what's new in manufacturing, processing, packaging, coding, and so much more. We'll drop a new episode bi-weekly to keep you updated with the latest news and insights that affect your business. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from speeding up the brewing process to setting records with the real-life Willy Wonka to tracking down and cleaning up the fishing industry, and finally, bovine on fire. So, let's get started. It's only 9 a.m. here in Texas, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? For all of our beer drinkers out there, beer bots could speed up the brewing process. It's safe to say that craft brewers are continuously upping their game and looking for the latest innovations that help them create or flavor their newest beers. And it seems that beer-making mini-robots, also known as beer bots, are helping them do just that. The team over at ACS Nano proved that self-propelled magnetic packages of yeast can make the fermentation phase go faster and cut out the filtration phase of the brewing process. The brewing process typically starts when sugars are extracted from grains like malted barley to create a liquid known as wort. After wort is created, yeast is added to begin the fermentation process to convert those sugars into alcohol, carbon dioxide gas, and new flavor compounds. This step tends to be the lengthiest, seeing as though it can take up to 4 weeks, and that's if everything goes according to plan. It's at this step that unwanted microorganisms can get in and spoil the final products with sour flavors. In order to avoid product loss, researchers have suggested that encapsulating the yeast in polymer capsules can lessen the chance of spoilage and speed up the process. Martin Pumera and colleagues wanted to develop a self-propelled bot to make the fermentation process quicker and make the yeast separation process easier. Researchers have created a 2mm wide beer bot capsule by combining active yeast, magnetic iron oxide nanoparticles, and sodium alginate. They then take this combination and drip it into a ferric chloride solution. They then made one side of the spheres porous by exposing that half to an alkaline solution in an electrochemical cell. Initial experiments showed that the yeast-containing beads could ferment sugar and produce carbon dioxide bubbles that would be propelled upwards. When that got to the surface, carbon dioxide was released into the air and then sank again, creating a bobbing motion. When the team tested these beer bots on malted barley wort, they found that the bots transformed sugars faster than free yeast cells. This is because as the yeast was used up and fermentation ceased, the yeast-containing capsules sank to the bottom of the flask, making it easier to separate the yeast from the final product with a magnet. Thanks to beer bots, there's no longer a need for a filtration step. Plus, to sweeten the deal even more, beer bots were active for up to 3 more wort fermentation cycles. So bye-bye lengthy wait times and hello tasty brews on the fly. Speeding up the brewing process isn't the only sweet deal we're encountering in this episode. In fact, Russell Stover has taken Forrest Gump's "Life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get" saying personal by creating a massive box of chocolates that weigh more than a Chevy Silverado. The 100-year-old chocolate manufacturer just set a new Guinness World Record for the largest box of chocolates. Russell Stover obliterated the former world record holder by debuting a replica box measuring more than 30 feet long and more than 15 feet wide. Their new box of chocolates weighs in at 2,300 pounds, and that's before it was loaded with 5,000 pounds of oversized chocolate, with each bit weighing anywhere from 11 to 38 pounds apiece. The former world record holder, a UK-based chocolate manufacturing company, Thorntons, had created a box of chocolates that measured more than 16 feet long by more than 11 feet wide. It held 3,725 pounds of chocolate. So, to put it in perspective, Russell Stover beat the competition by 1,891 pounds. Creating a box of chocolates of this size was no individual effort. Russell Stover turned to Dimensional Innovations, a design and fabrication firm in Kansas City that's known for projects like the interactive Dallas Mavericks exhibit and a Ferrari racetrack exhibit in Legoland, California. Anyways, getting back to the record-setting sweet treat at hand, Russell Stover used its manufacturing facilities in Abilene and Lola, Kansas to create the chocolate. Within the large box, you can find anything from peanut cluster, raspberry cream, truffle, toffee, and caramel. Now, let's get to the question that everyone's been wanting to ask. What's going to happen with all of that chocolate? After the company hosts its 100th anniversary, the oversized box will be displayed at one of its retail locations, and the huge chocolates will be gifted away. Well, all's well, ends well. Now, you all know that it wouldn't be a Sneedcast episode if we didn't burst your bubble. Let's get it over with, guys. About the landmines of the sea, also known as ghost nets, and what the federal government plans to do to control all of these abandoned crab and lobster traps, as well as other fishing gear. Ghost nets, or landmines of the sea, aren't just abandoned pieces of equipment. Sometimes that equipment becomes lost due to storms or passing boats. The point is that whether or not the equipment was lost, it still attracts and kills marine life. In Norfolk, Virginia, the U.S. government is launching a new program to combat abandoned crab and lobster traps because not only are they leading to poorer harvest, but these discarded traps are also killing other fish. And currently, the main focus is on coastal waters from Maine to Alaska. The William and Mary's Virginia Institute of Marine Science has been selected by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to anchor the program. In addition, the administration is bestowing an $8 million grant to implement the project. So, why is it that after years of knowing this issue existed, only now is action being taken? Well, industry experts and scientists estimate the commercial fishermen lose about 10% of their traps per year to bad weather, strong currents, and vessels that sever tie lines. In 2001, a study was conducted that concluded that ghost fishing kills 4 million to 10 million blue crabs each year in Louisiana alone. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is working to remove the traps that are used to harvest blue crabs, Dungeness crabs, stone crabs, American lobsters, and spiny species of lobsters. Kirk Havens, the director for the Center of the Coastal Resource Management at the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, said that the program's main focus is to collect nationwide data on where these traps are lost, found, and what type of marine life has been affected the most. Haven also says that just removing 10% of the traps from the hotspots can increase a harvest significantly. Removal also helps preserve marine life. In the Chesapeake Bay alone, some 40 species have also been caught in neglected blue crab traps. Another example dates back to 2014 when experts estimated that more than 12,000 crab traps were being lost in the Washington state, which ended up costing an estimated $700,000 in lost harvest revenue, as well as damaging the seafloor environment. Pascal van Erp, a Dutch diver who founded the charity Ghost Diving, told the Associated Press in 2016 that the problem with lost gear is enormous. It is found in all seas, oceans, and inland waters at all depths, along the beach and under the sand. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's new effort is the Nationwide Trap Removal Assessment and Prevention Program, better known as TRAP. Thanks to the administration and its new program, removing lost and abandoned fishing gear is now being pursued across the U.S. We're sure that programs like TRAP are just the beginning as the push to create a more sustainable fishing industry continues. On April 10th of 2023, the South Fork Dairy Farm in Dimmit, Amarillo lost 18,000 dairy cows to a fiery explosion. One of their workers also sustained injuries. According to the Animal Welfare Institute, this fire and explosion are the deadliest barn fires for Texas cattle. Investigators and officials are still investigating the root cause of the fire, but acknowledge that the blaze spread in an area of the barn where the cows would typically roam. Sal Rivera from the Castro County Sheriff's Department said, "I think they're trying to determine if a machine called a honey wagon that sucks out the manure and water might have possibly ignited methane gas or something like that." While the majority of the cows died, a small percentage survived and were moved to a separate facility under South Fork's care. As for the trapped worker in the facility, they were rescued and airlifted to University Medical in Lubbock, and their condition was last reported as critical. Margie Fisherman, the public relations manager for the Animal Welfare Institute, said, "We hope the industry will remain focused on this issue and strongly encourage farms to adopt common sense fire safety measures. It is hard to imagine anything worse than being burned alive. We hope to hear some good news about the workers soon and wish them a speedy recovery." Brew Expo America is up next. It seems like just yesterday we were kicking off the Wear Coding Everywhere tour, and now we're approaching the halfway mark. Brew Expo America in Nashville, Tennessee is getting ready to kick off in a few days. This time, you'll be able to find us in booth 2460 from May 7th to the 10th, so make sure to mark your calendars and register for the event. We wouldn't want you to miss out on America's largest craft brewing industry gathering, let alone the opportunity to keep coding simple with the booth boys. So, stay tuned for our next episode of Sneedcast Industry Updates, and like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Follow our social media platforms to see all of our updates as we continue on the Word Coding Everywhere tour. Also, let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. Bye, guys.